The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I am your host, Ramses Ja. And sometimes the amount of stories that make their way to us means that we simply can't cover everything that comes our way. But from time to time, a story just stays with me, and I feel compelled to share it with you and give you my thoughts. And now, one more thing.
Now, whenever I have to talk about a police shooting, there's always a group of people who come to the table with that defend the police at all cost energy. They should have complied. The police feared for their lives, on and on and on. And often enough, they'll blame the victim of the tragedy and will not scrutinize the police whatsoever. Well, I got something for those people today. This comes from TMZ. Florida deputy mistakes acorn falling for shots fired. Overreaction caught on body cam. In short, an acorn fell on top of a police car and an officer jumps over, pulls out his gun and empties an entire clip on his own car while there's a handcuffed black man in the back seat. So today we're going to break this down. We got to break it down all the way. I'm talking MC Hammer break it down. So we're going to discuss what police are afraid of. We're going to discuss why they are afraid. And we're going to discuss who suffers because of police fear. And then, because it's not all doom and gloom, we're going to ponder three potential solutions for this problem that we find ourselves brushing up against so regularly. So I'll share again from TMZ. A Florida sheriff's deputy is looking more like a cartoonish cop from Reno 911. On body cam footage of him mistaking an acorn hitting his patrol car for bullets, prompting him to open fire on the vehicle. The video, which was just released, shows Okaloosa County Deputy Jesse Hernandez on the job, detaining a guy back in November for allegedly sending threatening texts. Okay, he was allegedly sending threatening texts. Hernandez and his partner cuffed the man and put him in the back of their patrol car. Problem solved. All seemed to be going well until Hernandez appeared to hear what he perceived as a shot being fired, which catapulted him into a frantic drop and roll as he drew his weapon and started firing multiple shots at his car. Hernandez seems to unload his entire clip. And remember, 22-year-old Marquise Jackson was helplessly sitting inside the patrol car, unarmed and completely restrained. Yet Hernandez clearly thought Jackson had shot at him from inside the car. Amid the panic, his partner, who didn't hear anything like a gunshot, seemed confused as to why he was freaking out and also started shooting at their car. Now, I've seen the video. This officer was clearly afraid. I won't take that from him. He kept saying that he was hit, that he was hit in his vest. He was hiding behind other vehicles. You know, sometimes we talk about, okay, this is racist behavior. And other times we talk about, okay, these police are afraid. Neither one of these has a place in policing. But today we're not talking about racism. We're talking about fear. As I mentioned, we're going to break it down. So let's start. What are they afraid of? Well, this is interesting in that it shows exactly how scared the police are. We know, of course, that police are scared of wallets, keys, cell phones, toys, literally nothing, walking toward them, running away from them, children, elderly people, folks who call them in a crisis, folks who didn't call and were just nearby, and now acorns too. And it's so strange to hear constantly our brave men and women who put it all on the line, who protect us, our first responders, the thin blue line. How can they be brave when they are so given to fear? But if that was the whole story, I don't know that that would be enough. I have lived so much of my life where I've been able to experience so many good things, but it wasn't always that way. I spent my youth in considered privation. And in my youth in Compton, California, we were very much afraid of the police, but we were also afraid of gangs. We were afraid of lots of things. So I know that fear is part and parcel to the human experience. I was not a big fan of dogs for a long time. Still not, if I'm being honest. So a person just being afraid isn't the whole story. Let's talk about why a person might be afraid, specifically police. Now, I'm going to share something with you because I believe it matters in this moment. It may not be your truth, but I really do want you to think about this. Once upon a time, I was with a business partner of mine. And this would have been, let's call it, about 4 years ago now. And there was some goings on at the time. People were panicking. There was just a lot of confusion in the air. And, you know, my business partner is a family man. And he was worried about his capacity to protect his family, his children, his wife, etc. And he was thinking about getting a gun. And he and I had a conversation about it. He told me that he ultimately decided not to get a gun. And his reason was because he said, guns bring about gun energy. And I thought about that. Because a lot of times, when people get shot, they also have a gun. A lot of times when people shoot, they're shooting at people who also have a gun. It's not across the board how it works, but it's frequent enough for him to have noticed that. And so his position was, although I could see the security that this could provide, I'm not willing to take on the additional energy that it brings to the equation. Element that it brings to the equation. Guns bring about gun energy. And so how does this factor into the police? Well, having a gun on your person makes you judge, jury, and executioner in a split second. And when it comes to black folks and brown folks, often enough, when it comes to us, we've seen how bad they are at the first two, judge and jury. And we've seen how good they are at being the executioner. When the police are scared, people die because they have a gun on them. And they're justified. And indeed, they are trained to respond to tense situations. Right? But again, to a man with a hammer, the world is a nail. All the world's a nail. Or something like that. You get what I mean? So in a tense situation, someone like me with no gun, I might be inclined to hide or run away or something like that. Everybody lives. You have a gun on your person, if you get afraid of, again, keys, toys, literally nothing, someone walking toward you, someone walking away, and you're taught, hey, I got to pull out the gun, take it off safety, and fire in one motion, people will lose their lives. And you got to get that right if people's lives are on the line. The only reason we haven't changed it is because it disproportionately affects Black people. And we've been saying this country does not care about Black people. And the non-Black people, the non-brown people, they can paint as the bad guys. Doesn't happen as frequently, so not nearly as much to see here. You know the worst part about it? The police are not held accountable. I mean, you could probably cite a couple of instances, but I've actually reviewed this data. Overwhelmingly, the police go back to work. They say, keep the job. Not even a slap on the wrist. Sometimes you get a slap on the wrist. And of course, very infrequently, you'll get a conviction for criminal negligence and murder, you know, or homicide. But it's very rare, especially when the victim was Black. And this isn't just, again, police shootings. We could talk about police violence, police brutality, police misconduct, etc. They're not held accountable. And of course, they got each other's back. They covered up nice and neat. So a lot of it, we don't even understand. We don't even get to understand. We don't see it. They'll cover their body cams up. They'll lie for each other. They'll, you know, and it's the rare instances where they miss something, or they make a mistake, or someone else was recording, or whatever. Those rare instances when they get outed that we actually find out that they were lying. And it leaves us to wonder how often they have concealed the truth from us. The honorable, brave men and women in uniform, the first responders. Yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the last point. Who suffers because of police fear? So we have to ask ourselves, what makes police scared? What makes Karen scared? Well, Karens are pretty brave. I'm scared of too much, but if they choose to play the victim, then they certainly can convince us that they're scared of Black men. And, you know, police often enough, we as a population give them that. I feared for my life. You were afraid of the person running away from you? That's why you shot him in the back? Because you were afraid? You didn't notice that he was afraid and running away from you? Like the logic, the common sense logic doesn't add up. We will give the police every possible shred of optics that support their position. So yes, Black men suffer. Black women suffer. Black children suffer. Black neighborhoods suffer. But I think that the community at large, the population at large, suffers as well. You know, as we mentioned, the police were just unloading clips on a car. And those bullets have to land somewhere. If they don't hit that car, They're going to hit somebody's front door down the street. They're going to hit, you know, there's the potential to hit other people. And indeed, this behavior and this framework of policing does affect non-Black and non-brown people too. It affects white folks plenty. Granted, it's not as prominent, but white people suffer because of this. But the construct certainly works to uphold a system of white supremacy. And there are not enough white voices in the chorus to change anything. But make no mistake, the population at large suffers as a result of this type of police aggression and police response, and indeed police training. So who else suffers? Well, the police's reputation suffers. I'm sure you know. Police have, certainly these days, certainly post-George Floyd, a reputation of being trigger-happy murderers instead of, you know, friendly neighborhood police officers. And it's not just George Floyd. You got to remember, the Black Lives Matter movement started in 2012 with Trayvon Martin. So going all the way up, we were watching all of these police killings. And even before Trayvon, Trayvon was just when Black Lives Matter started, because they were saying, look, enough is enough. We're seeing this happen over and over and over again. Obama was the president. We'd see these police killings. We'd see these instances of police brutality. And after years of that, then Black Lives Matter started with Trayvon Martin. And then we saw more years, and we saw George Floyd. And make no mistake, this is going all the way back to civil rights and even before, as you can probably imagine. Slave patrols. Hopefully that rings a bell. Black people have never had a good relationship with the police. If we're talking about the whole, you know, the overall relationship. Certainly there's individuals who could sing the praises of the police. As a community, no. Police have been very unkind and unfair to us. So the police's reputation suffers, which I'd imagine makes their job harder to do. And all the propaganda in the world is not going to fix the real life things that we are seeing on social media. I saw this video of this police officer jump and roll, pull out his gun and unload a clip on his own police car because he heard an acorn hit the hood. Cannot convince me with enough propaganda that I didn't see that. Cannot convince me that the police are brave and noble and honorable. When I've seen the instances of police corruption, I've seen police lying, police cover-ups, I've seen it. Now, I feel like I should share more of the story. So I'll go back to TMZ. Miraculously, both of the officers missed Jackson backseat, but Hernandez's body cam shows the complete overreaction, which was the finding of the sheriff's office investigation. Okaloosa's officials determined his use of deadly force wasn't reasonable, and his partner got a pass since she only fired based on his actions. Which again, what was she shooting at? What? Remember, I said it could affect the community too. What? She's just shooting in the general direction that he's shooting in, and bullets in lives. She's just dumping a clip because he's dumping a clip. And this is how this works, as you know. This is why we get these numbers of, oh, nearly 100 shots fired at the suspects, because all of them are all afraid and they're all shooting in the same general direction. One person could have seen one thing in their imagination, perhaps. Let me finish. Officer Hernandez resigned and he was not criminally charged. So let's move on to the solution. I don't want to be long-winded here. Some proposed solutions for you to ponder. I know you won't love all three of them like I do, but maybe one of them might take root. And maybe you'll take this into your community or to your elected officials, or just bear it in mind, you know, for when the conversation comes up and you can influence someone else who may take this action. But number one is we have patrol cops travel in pairs, and we keep two guns in the trunk, and we keep one officer as often as possible in or around the car as backup. And this eliminates this strange phenomenon that we're dealing with. And as a proof of concept, check out a place called New Zealand. You know, they have guns there and they keep the guns in the trunk of the car because they don't live their lives as though they're going to have to kill someone every single moment that they are on the job. Indeed, it is a very small part of the job that they have to be prepared for. Sure. But they don't live their whole life like, I might have to kill someone in the next 10 seconds. Let me make sure I have my gun with me. You keep it in the back of the car like you keep a jack for when you have a flat tire. If I need it, I'll go get it. And of course, there's the argument, well, what if it's too late? What if they got the drop on you? What, you know what I mean? That's a part of the risk of the job. Okay. And remember what I said about guns bringing about gun energy. If you know the consequences of what of taking the life of an officer, in many places, they'll give you the electric chair for that. You know the consequences and you have a gun, you may not kill the officer. You may show, hey, I have a gun and I'm leaving. And if you're going to try to engage with me first, you have to go back to your car and then you have to chase me. But unless we're willing to give this a chance, we are forcing ourselves to live with this reality, with these police overreactions, and indeed these deaths, because ultimately these deaths are on us. Sure, they're on the police, but make no mistake, we control more than we give ourselves credit for. They have to listen. We are the population that they serve. But let's say you don't like that one. I love it. But let's say you don't like it. It's been discussed that police should have insurance. Like doctors have insurance. And if the officers are ultimately uninsurable, then they cannot be employed. So, officer gets a job, take out an insurance policy, and if there's any police misconduct or anything like that, their premiums go higher, and either they will not be able to afford them or they will be uninsurable and therefore unemployable. And that way, we have a system in place that keeps taxpayers from having to pay for lawsuits, because every time the police have to settle a lawsuit, which there is a lawsuit potentially pending for this very scenario we're discussing today over an acorn, we're going to have to pay for that. If this young man needs therapy, whatever, we're paying for that, not the officers. But if we adopt a system where officers need to carry insurance, then the officers insurance will pay for the lawsuits, not the taxpayers. And if the officer ultimately becomes uninsurable, we don't have to worry about transfers. We don't have to worry about these bad apples corrupting, police forces and then moving and corrupting other police forces. Something to think about. Finally, this is one that I'm a big fan of. If you listen to the show long enough, you certainly know that. Defunding the police. Better said, reallocating of police resources to actually impact crime rates. There's this popular narrative that police need better training. And there's less popularized study results that show that police training doesn't work. Makes a small impact for a couple of weeks, maybe. And then the officers go back to doing what they were doing all along. Police training doesn't work. Daycare programs work, funnily enough. There's a direct correlation between daycare programs, access to free daycare, and crime rates. If you want to impact crime rates, don't put the money into more police training, because it's been statistically proven that it doesn't work. I've discussed that on this show. I've discussed that on Civic Cypher. There's data. You don't even have to take my word for it. Just look it up. Does police training work? Simple. Google search. Scroll down far enough and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Data. Scholarly. I forget the name of the university at the moment, but I know that there was one prestigious university that did their own thorough study of that. And then, as I mentioned, daycare programs, other programs. When you eliminate poverty, you eliminate barriers to economic prosperity, you eliminate, you know, or you erode crime rates. So statistically speaking, defunding the police will have a more profound impact on crime rates than increased police training, hiring more police, on and on and on. It doesn't do anything for anybody. Wealth shapes outcomes. So feel free to disagree with me. I know you will. As always, you can hit me using the Red Microphone Talkback feature on iHeartRadio app, or you can hit me at RamsesJa. Let's talk about it. And until we do, peace.
This has been a production of the Black Information Network. Today's show is produced by Chris Thompson. Have some thoughts you'd like to share? Use the Red Microphone Talkback feature on the iHeartRadio app. While you're there, be sure to hit subscribe and download all of our episodes. I'm your host, Ramses Ja, on all social media. Join us tomorrow as we share our news with our voice from our perspective, right here on the Black Information Network Daily Podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.